This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 7th of February, 2020, 12:03, coming up to 12:04. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Sandu.
I'm Vinny Branch.
Our producer of the day, of course, is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Happy Friday.
There we go. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday, indeed. Weekend just over the horizon. Speaking about being over the horizon, we have a story about that a little bit later on. Further beyond the horizon, Starman and the Tesla Roadster will be making an appearance in one of our stories a little bit later on. But first, and more importantly, you might argue, the discussion of today is whether or not you guys at home feel that freelancing is the future of employment. And it says in the headline, future for millennials, but... I think that term gets banded around a little bit. I don't think it's necessarily millennials. I think it's millennials and Gen Z and a whole bunch of people who are not necessarily all of us here in the studio. People just entering the workforce and people who have been in the workforce for a few years, do you guys think that your future lies within the freelance sphere? Let us know. 018-789-8899. On WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We've got polls running there as well. And for those of you that are in the workforce and have been there a while, perhaps, and don't belong in the millennial or Gen Z kind of brackets, do you look at freelancing as something that you think maybe it's something you'd like to do as well? We'd like to have that discussion too. Now, let's quickly run through some of these things. So there's been a number of predictions that by the year of this year, 2020, the majority of millennials and Gen Zs will be no longer in an office job, instead choosing the life of a freelancer. So why would this particular generation leave a cushy, guaranteed paycheck from a corporate career to go and do odd jobs and contracted work on their own? We have a few suggestions as to why this might be. Number one, you can use multiple skills. So millennials and Gen Z tend to have a variety of interests and skills, from graphic design to charity work and everything in between. So being tied down to a job where people are forced to do the same skill set on a daily basis, it's exhausting and frustrating for these generations. Being able to freelance means you can pick and choose which skills to use and don't have to narrow down your interest to one specific field. Freelancing means one day they could be shooting and editing a viral video campaign and the next raising funds for a charity event. Some bits and pieces in there appeal to me. I'm certainly not a millennial.
We're not saying anything.
We didn't say anything. And I don't know why
I was giving you
pitch.
Free ammunition and waiting for feedback. I didn't get any. So you guys are clearly in a good mood today. Connection conscious. You can remain connection conscious. You know, they're well aware of their network and how to use it, probably because the idea of social media and digital connections, it's been a part of their lives for so long. And unlike previous generations, they've got no problem calling up even the loosest of connections, like one of those distributors you worked with for a month years ago. Because of this value they place on networking and ability to grow connections, freelancing makes perfect sense. You can have so many contacts to call upon for referrals or contracted work or stuff like that. Flexibility, of course. An abundance of research on how millennials and Gen Z hate the standard 9-to-5 job, yet for the most part, the corporate world has yet to respond by allowing flexibility in these hours. For the most part. Instead, some people have opted for this freelance career where you can choose your own hours and still make time for life outside of work. They don't want to punch in and out on a daily basis, but would rather work at their own pace during hours they feel more productive. Not that they're lazy, but rather they see the importance of work-life balance more than any other generation. Incurring less risk. Now, it may seem like freelancing carries more risk than a steady office job, but to millennials and Gen Z, that's not the case. They entered their careers at the height of the recession, so they're all too familiar with cutbacks and layoffs. By being a freelancer, you're able to invest less in one client and therefore carry less risk. If one client does decide to make cuts and gets rid of the freelance work, the millennial or Gen Z still has others waiting in the wings. Finally, you can create your own culture. You can leave the office jobs or job hop from one to another, not because of pay, but because you're dissatisfied with the culture or the work value. Being a freelancer means you get to define your own work culture and make an impact with your own decisions. Now, these are all some very good points. And of course, there are a few negatives to being freelance, as we know, and as I'm sure we'll hear on some of the Vox Pops we have a little bit later on. Stuff like the ability to have medical care provided for you by your company, mm-hmm. you know, other perks and benefits that you
retirement planning,
and other little bits and pieces. And I suppose in some ways it's about weighing up your options. You know, which do you prefer? Is it okay to go in and clock in 9 to 5, knowing that if you fall sick, you're going to be covered by something, mm-hmm. you know? Or is it, I can go to work when I want, I can wear what I want and do what I want, but at some point I'm going to have to pay for my own medical coverage. All mm-hmm. of these things are kind of things that I think freelancers, for the most part, for eternity, have been dealing with, right?
Also, freelancers, we've all probably would have had some involvement doing something on the side before. And I don't know about you guys, but generally getting paid is
after, a big problem.
Yeah. After you've done, you know, a said particular task, getting paid, it requires, you know, countless number of emails and calls and, you know, askings for...
Nudging people again and again.
So there itself, for me, lies the problem why, you know, I'm not so keen to jumping on the freelance bandwagon, even though there may be avenues and opportunities for anyone to do something like this, right? You would, whatever you're doing in your current job, you could sort of offer that kind of expertise and services in other industries. But the worry is that there is no structure in terms of how, you know, you are going to get paid on time, because let alone thinking about your downtimes, the days where you don't get like projects, so, you know, you're not getting paid, your retirement, your medical and insurance and all, minus all that aside, the main crux for me is just that the system of how you're going to get paid.
Right.
That is the big stumbling block.
Also, I think a lot of people forget how difficult freelancing is. Like the word freelancing sounds like, you know, you work when you want and then you go you rest when you want. You can have a day off when you want. But freelancing is actually more difficult than your 9 to 5, because when you work 9 to 5, you have like a sort of fixed hours daily. You know, you work 9 to 5, you go home and then it's done.
Yeah.
Freelancing, sometimes you work like 18 hours, 19 hours. And if you have big projects, you don't sleep. You have to stay up until your projects are done. So the whole thing about, you know, you get to choose your time and flexibility and stuff, like all the points that you read out just now, there are like counterpoints to each and every one of them. Using multiple skills, if you freelance, yes, you have multiple skills. Whether you can use multiple skills or not is like a whole other thing, because if you are a photographer, let's say, what other skills are you using besides photography, maybe some design, but your ultimate aim is to use photography to make money. Then it comes to the, what if you have 3 projects in a day, then you're working 18 hours, then how do you get paid? People are not going to pay you for like 2 months, 3 months, you chase after them. So that whole thing of freelancing being an easier life is wrong. It's like, yes, you can use your skills, you are the master of your own business and stuff, but it is, I think, more difficult than working 9 to 5.
Yeah, in its current state, I completely agree. But I think with the generation that's coming through now, I think some of these problems are inevitably going to get solved. You know, the whole payment procedure, I think, is something that a lot of younger people have gotten to the point of, like, I've seen people deal with this so often and in so many different ways. How do we fix this so we can do the things that we want to do and not do 9 to 5 and take the days off and still get paid on time when we've done the work?
Have a steady income.
And have a steady income. But you're right in the fact that you could be doing one project and then you could be waiting 2, 3, 4 months or, you know, however long before you have something else coming in. That's not going to change, I don't imagine. But the payment structure and the way in which it's dealt with, I think, is something that might be addressed.
Maybe by using technology to make it easier for them and stuff.
I think so.
But also there's the rise of the gig economy, which is in a way helping some of these people to venture into that area where you have to manage your own finances, right? But in terms of getting paid, you get paid almost on the spot if you're an employee in the gig economy.
That's true. We're going to take a short break, folks. Don't forget, we actually have a poll running over on Twitter and on Instagram. Currently, the poll on Instagram sits at 67%. Of you think that yes, freelancing is the future or the chosen career path in the future. And over on Twitter, interestingly,
It's at 57% for yes, no at 14.9, and maybe is at 28.1.
You've got 45 minutes or so left to vote if you want to take part in the Twitter poll. Do get on there. If you've got anything you want to add via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We'll be right back after these messages, reading some of your messages here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu,
Arvind Braj.
Our producer is Christine Wong. We've got some messages over on Twitter that we'll respond to in a minute to the question of whether or not you think freelancing will become the chosen career path in the future. We've been speaking a lot about millennials and Generation Z in the last few days, few weeks, few months. In fact, it's something we've been kind of heavy on, this topic. On the poll over on Twitter, the numbers are about the same as before we went for break.
Yeah, so it's at 57% for yes, 14.9 for no, and 28.1 for maybe.
Shifted ever so slightly over on Instagram from 67% to 69% to 31 in people saying that yes, we think that freelancing is the future. We've had a couple of tweets as well.
Yeah, so this comes from Henry Libra, who says freelancing will be given a new name in the near future as it becomes the new form of employment when salaries no longer be existent, but rather getting paid in credit for the hours you put in under a new global currency that is non-resident specific.
Sounds a little bit like cryptocurrency. Non-bordered, you know, no decentralized.
Decentralized, yeah.
Okay. Now, we managed to get some vox pops from around the office, and what we decided to do was to speak to people from the incoming workforce, and by that we mean, you know, for the most part, interns, and how they see the future of employment. Let's have a quick listen to what they had to say. So we first started off with this question: how old are you, and do you think that you would ever consider doing full-time freelancing?
I'm 22, and yes, I think I would try full-time freelancing if I already achieved so much in my life, and also you know, if I'm already retired and I want to do more job or something like that. Yeah,
I am 23. I would say probably not, because I think being a full-time employee at a company offers you benefits as well as, you know, a normal income, and I think that I value that quite highly, and also health insurance. I think part-time freelance makes a lot of sense. Perhaps you make some additional money on the side and gain additional career opportunities that way. But I think as a full-time opportunity, I would have to say probably not.
I am 26, and no, I don't think I'd ever consider doing full-time freelancing. I think it's a function of my personality. I'm too nervous, and I don't think I'm aggressive enough about getting clients and things like that. And I like the stable income, so no.
I'm 24 years old this year. Yes, I would consider doing full-time freelance if I'm always keeping myself busy, having maybe one or two or more projects. Then yes, I would consider doing a full-time freelance, because I'll be, you know, either gaining more than being a full-timer, or I have more free time as well. So that's why.
I'm 19. Not in the near future, probably not in the next 10 years, because I think at least for the start of my career, I want to get something where there's a work environment, where there's more drive. I think freelancing, because I know myself, I know that I will get very comfortable and not really push myself to do more. So I think a corporate job, maybe that would be better first. Freelancing for retirement, I don't know.
Is it a surprise that we spotted an American accent in there, and their response was about health insurance?
No. So that's an interesting perspective, right? Because, you know, that's for some countries, especially for, you know, like the US, it's a huge deal. Like, you need health insurance because the government doesn't cover you. It's a big problem for them. And health is expensive. It's so expensive that you need someone else to look after your health and your insurance if you literally, sometimes if you want to survive in certain countries.
But also, I think what was interesting is talking about, like, the person didn't consider freelance as or will not ever consider freelance because don't have the mental capacity to sort of, you know, go out and hustle and find for clients and, you know, then chase for payments and, you know, speak to them. It's also, it comes down to personality. Yeah. Some individuals will be, you know, will do well in the freelance economy simply because they are of that mold where they can get out and, you know, get those clients in. But some just can't. That doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing the job.
Right.
It just means that you know, it's in the wrong wall, because a freelance economy feels a little bit like a war, you know, because there's only a certain amount of, you know, clients for a particular industry that you could go for. And then it becomes a price war, or it becomes on, in our context, it's always down to, you know, the price cost, right? So personal experiences based on, like, you know, moderating and emceeing, it always comes down to, you know, that the client would normally approach 5 or 6 different individuals. And more or less sometimes...
Often at the same company.
Yeah, and sometimes it just comes down to, you know what, this person's price seems a little bit more within the budget. And then, of course, it's also, you know, I'm not saying that price is everything, but it's also whether it's the fit. Mm. So sometimes you may be really capable of getting the job done, but you just maybe don't quite fit into what the company is looking for. So then it becomes an issue as well. So yeah, it's a lot of factors to consider.
Which is number one, using multiple skills. Yeah. Number two, connection conscious. And number three, being flexible. But echo what you're saying about it being almost like a war. It's, for me, it's like a competitive sport.
Yeah.
You know, and you're either good at sport or you're not good at sport. You know, you either like it or you don't like it.
And also which sport.
And also which sport. Oh, yeah.
But you see, even in the sports analogy, it's like, you know, let's say a football team, for example, right? So, you know, if you were to look from the outside, being a non-football fan, if you were one, you would think that, you know, generally that the top players would be the strikers because they're the ones who score the goals. They're at the forefront of things. They do the celebrations, the camera, you know, every photo would be capturing a photo of them celebrating the goal. The headlines would generally be, you know, person A has scored 3 goals, the hat trick, yada, yada. But you're forgetting about maybe there's that defensive midfielder that's, you know, gone under the radar. But that doesn't mean that the person's not, you know, important.
Without that defensive midfielder, the entire team would lose.
But he's not going to, you know, come out. He or she's not going to come out and make headlines.
He's not the famous one.
Yeah. So, you know, that individual is not going to be grabbing the headlines. So in that freelance, that's going to be, you know, the market, right? You have to put yourself out there. You got to, you know, make sure that you can attract these different clients. But if you're a more of that defensive midfield, I can't believe we're talking about freelancing and football here. But if you're of that mold, then, you know, sometimes you got to also think what's best for you in the way that how you can deal with the war.
I mean, I remember a few years back and a company that I worked with where you enter a company in a particular mold, right? And you know what your goals are. You know what your KPIs are as you go into that business. And those KPIs and those goals have been outlined for you. And so you know what is achievable. You know how to achieve those things because it's something that you've been used to doing, right? And then suddenly a new set of goals is brought in, and it changes things entirely. You know, you have skills that you've developed over a few years, and then you're asked to suddenly adopt a whole bunch of new skills to help the company in general push it forward, you know, to become something else.
Like reskilling,
but it's kind of it's not done in that subtle way. It's like you have to be doing this to help push the company forward, otherwise the company's going to fail. You know, and it feels like I think a lot of freelancers are at that point where that sense of having to constantly reskill and constantly learn something is something that they are adopting to and are able to adopt to are much better than somebody who's perhaps a little bit older has been. And how we, by we, I mean my generation and previous, have been educated is that this is what you learn to do and this is how you do it, right? If there are additional skills that you can learn to add onto your table, great. Whereas I think people who are younger nowadays, and, you know, don't slap me if I'm wrong, you know, are very willing and are very able to be a lot more flexible than perhaps my generation have been.
That's why I think you see all these like co-working spaces pop up, because there are a lot of people who want to freelance, but like, you know, one of the Vox Pop said, they need that drive or that motivation to freelance, and they don't want to be at home because being at home makes them sort of complacent or they don't want to do work. So they come onto co-working spaces, and then you have other people in these co-working spaces who also want to freelance, who can do like knowledge sharing, who can tell each other how it's done. So there is that sort of community that's being built, and we see a lot of them like popping up. Co-working spaces are like a big thing, and it's because there are a lot of people who want to go there and find their community and exchange ideas and talk to each other and get to know. When you don't have the structure of an office, who do you learn from about freelancing?
Right. On that note, we're going to take a short break. Give us some feedback, folks. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to text. Tweet us or get us on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio on both. We do have polls running, of course. We'll have some updates from that in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break with some of the Stranglers with Always the Sun. And when we come back, a 30-year throwback, all courtesy of Jeff. We'll be back in a few minutes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.